Hi, Lovey. This is Christina with Calm as I Psychic LLC here on Universal Spirit Podcast, and I'm coming to you with something that a lot of spiritual people deal with, especially spiritual people who were not raised as spiritual. This post is more, targeted for people who have either a religious upbringing, religious family, religious friend group, or just religious traditions, and not just religious, it could also be some cultural stereotypes that they were born into or projected into. When we talk about spiritual isolation, people want to know what it really is, and it's really when you decide to awaken yourself to more than yourself or more than what the mundane world offers to you. And understanding how things occur, why things occur, right? And who and what are the forces behind the things that are occurring, have occurred, and will occur in the future. I know it sounds like a mouthful and a lot to take in, but this spiritual exploration is what attracts a certain few to a path of spiritual enlightenment. Right, because then it becomes a journey of self-improvement, understanding how we play a part in things that go wrong and things that go well, and also personal and individual empowerment, understanding what we can do on our own without being so codependent, and especially being spiritually codependent. Understanding that we take our power into our own hands, the good that we can do, and also some of the destruction we can do. Holding ourselves accountable at every turn, right? And understanding that we do not want to blame a God that we cannot prove exists. We want to be able to take accountability for what we know, what we can control, what we don't know, what we can and cannot do. Even though it goes back to the form of limiting ourselves, it also gives us the idea of limitless abilities. Okay, the idea of forgiving others is most often plugged into our psyche and into our culture and into our spirit. But once we can take accountability, and I wouldn't say blame ourselves, but if we can forgive ourselves, right, it's all the more worth doing the work. It's all the more, a special, time in life. And I would say the most mature of us or the most enlightened of us would almost agree that to take accountability for things that we can and cannot do, know or experience, or capable of, it would almost seem like life would, quote unquote, taste better. The experience that we have here on this earth, which is an average of 87 years, is going to taste a little bit better because we're not all, we're not birds that are meant to fly if we are made to live in the pond. Feeling bad that we can't fly should not be part of our journey. We should not be feeling that type of shame for something that we cannot control, or just understanding things that we are not meant to do, especially when you are called in a culture where you might be surrounded by preachers and pastors, and it runs in your family, and you're preaching everything but Christian gospel or Muslim gospel, and you feel as though you're called to preach something else, to preach something a little metaphysical or otherworldly, and you just connect better with it. Things that may often scare people, tend to fascinate you. Okay, you don't have the fear, or you have a healthy fear of it, because I've already talked about in other episodes of healthy fear and unhealthy fear. But to be called and to be spiritually isolated means you have a healthy fear of things going wrong and what is possible to happen, but you also have a healthy faith, understanding that, if anything does go wrong, I can fix it, or it is fixable, right? And each level requires some type of discipline, some type of study, some type of know-how, and some type of common sense, right? And some type of, just taking action in some kind of way. Even taking no action would be considered to be taking action, knowing when and where you do not do something. I know this is a mouthful, I know this is a head full, but just try to stay with me if you can. And everything I just said, as confusing as it sounds, is the path that not so many people take because of the fact that it becomes so psychologically, socially, and, spiritually, and if not spiritually, socially, really, just deconstructing. You have to tear down everything you were taught and start from the beginning, right? And the reason why it's so isolating, because a lot of people will say, well, why can't you just go with it? Why can't you just, do what you're told? Why can't you just, live life how you were raised? Why do you have to make things so complicated, right? Why do you think that way? Why are you so involved in these dark entities that everyone else is afraid of? Why are you even choosing to go that way? And it would almost feel like you yourself are some type of alien, or you are some type of other, group, right? And it's very daunting. It's, depressing. It's lonely. And it would almost make you feel like, I don't fit in. And the truth is, you don't. And technically, nobody does, right? And trying to fit in, even with the person you think fits in, is a struggle to them as well, right? They're denying themselves some part of them in order to be, grouped, accepted. And those who walk a very, very spiritual, very empowering, very self-improving path, you are not going to find very many people on that path, because so many people are comfortable with doing what they're told and following directions and, staying true to cultural stereotypes, maybe, assimilating a life of what we call struggle love and finding soulmates and, playing roles that you were taught to play, and denying yourself the natural instincts to go against them when deep down you want to go against them, right? A lot of people who get married know damn well they shouldn't be married. They're either polyamorous at heart, okay, or they are homosexual at heart, okay? And marriage is looked down upon if you're homosexual, so you deny yourself and become, appearing to be heterosexual, just as an example, right? I thought I wanted to be married for, very long time when I was younger. It was put into my head over and over again. That's like the finish line. That proves that you are worthy. That proves that you are, better, or you proves that you, you have made it and that you are now somebody because somebody loves you or appears to love you, right? Being married gives you just some kind of status, or it's like, well, if you're not married, then that means there's something wrong with you. So I rushed to get married because I felt like I can't have people thinking there's something wrong with me, right? And when I finally got married, it didn't seem to fix anything or cure anything, and I didn't feel any different. And the only difference I felt was actually worse, right? Now I had to take care of myself and another person that was fully capable of taking care of themselves, and very daunting to me and very dissatisfied, okay? It wasn't the hype that everybody had expected it. I had expected it to be. People didn't treat me better because I was married. In fact, they treated me worse. they treated me much worse. It almost seemed as though, like, this status, came with a lot of burden. And it did not give me the happiness that I was originally promised, by my mom or by my ex-husband or by society in general. Yeah, I was married, but I was still interested in what I was interested in. I still pursue spiritual paths. I was been made fun of many times. Even to this day, I am still made fun of by some distant friends, some family members who were actually fairly close to me, don't really agree with my lifestyle at all, but no part of my lifestyle is harmful. No part of my lifestyle is harming anyone else. And I wanted to come and talk about it because I do know the loneliness and the isolation that is felt when you may be surrounded by tons of people who claim to love you, but as soon as you make a breakthrough, or have a milestone in either a spiritual, experience, a spiritual discovery, even if you run a spiritual business or just spiritual theory that you want to put forth, that there's no one around you to talk to it about. Can't go to your very religious mother or your religious uncle or your religious, cousins about it. There's no one anywhere to really sit down and really want to hear you out, because they make it a point to just continue to disagree with you. They make it a point to just always be indifferent to you. And then usually at the end of these things, they'll say things like, well, I don't believe in that anyway, so I don't know how I'm going to help. They'll sit down and they'll show up, but they'll show up just to disagree with you. They'll show up just to put you down, or they'll show up with so much ignorance that they really are just no help in general. And yes, you should seek out your tribe. You should seek out people who believe, similar things to you, if not the same things to you, or, just people who are also on a spiritual path. However, spiritual isolation also comes with not interfering with somebody else's empowerment, not interfering with somebody else's, enlightenment. So that does take time. It does take energy. And to be in someone else's space is taking up their time and energy, and vice versa. They're doing it to you if that's the case. And even people you've had long connections with since childhood, coming to them and letting them know, hey, I practice magic, or I practice this and that, and I'm very interested in other cultures in the world rather than what I was taught. I know we were taught this in school, but I found another theory that might be interesting, and you are just met with complete resistance and complete, disdain, if not, disgust. And oftentimes people who experience spiritual isolation do fall to depression, and sadness, and daily, melancholy, and if sometimes even mundane misdirection, right? You just take drives and have no particular destination just to not be around people who disagree with you, or people just make you feel uncomfortable, or people you cannot grow from. Because once you become spiritually isolated and empowered and enlightened, you really want to be on a constant growth, mission. And a lot of people, not all, are just not for it. They want to sit around and smoke weed all day long and talk about drama. Nothing wrong with smoking weed, nothing wrong with talking about drama, but it becomes like their life. It's all day. It's just never ending. People complaining about work, people complaining about kids, people complaining about relationships. It's like that's the only pulpit that we are given when we are birthed here on earth. The pulpit is to be, involved in all these things, fighting for a job interview, fighting for a relationship. Nothing ever just saying, hey, why don't we take this time that we have on earth and really dive deep into, who we are, what we want, and what our purpose could be that is not defined by others, not defined by your background, your race, your religion, your parents, your affiliates. Because soon enough, your affiliates will turn to who you used to be around and who you used to know, to just only knowing self and only knowing your spirit and only knowing your soul. When it comes to, conversing with spirits and deities and ancestors and, people who are into the paranormal as well, they consider those, to be spirit guides, or, understanding the other world, the parallel. Right? Not just living here. It makes you wonder, is there drama happening in the parallel world? Like, do ghosts go through anything? Are there things on this dimension that they're trying to get back? Why don't all, dead people reach back out? Are there places in the other world that are good? Or they're just super terrible? Like you really want to know. And on this journey of infinite just greed for knowing, it's like you're so focused on the knowing and the growing, to the point where people just drift away, drift apart. They just fall away. They fall off. You start to not have anything left in common with a lot of people you used to know. You still love them, but it's hard to stay in touch with them, and it's hard to also let them go, right? It's hard to let them go knowing that you would have to let them go, especially when you realize people that you love have very negative energy around you or around them. I know a few family members, they are consistently brought, there's a dark cloud around them. I have suggested spiritual cleansing for them many times, and they think what I'm doing is demonic and evil, but I've done it for myself, and I've cleansed that negativity off of me, and it seems as though they would rather stay with their, you know, their dark cloud, and they love to bring Jesus into that dark cloud and say, well, I'm just suffering because, you know, according to the Bible, I'm meant to suffer because that means I'm a true believer in Jesus. And I'm just like, it just might be a dark cloud of negativity that you are not self-aware enough to get rid of. But it couldn't possibly be that. So then there you go. There's the end of Thanksgiving conversation right there. No one wants to talk to me anymore, or now they're laughing and joking and questioning, and now it's very uncomfortable. And the last 10 minutes of my stay there is just me trying to figure out a way how to get out. Okay? And I'm just talking about me. I am talking about people who are in similar positions. Okay? People who just feel like you can't even open your mouth around family or friends, or you just don't trust them anymore. Now, me in particular, I do have a parent that is still very much alive and well, that I cannot speak of my spiritual anything to them. They'll bring Jesus, U-turn Jesus right back around to that situation. They'll bring up the Bible and what the Bible says, and I'm not limited to what the Bible says. And I want to find more answers other than what's written down in that one book. There are many books out there. There are things that spirit knows without it being written down. There are so many things going on in nature that haven't been written down, but we just know are true, right? You can explain how a snowflake is made, but you can't explain how all their designs are different, right? We know that, but we can't explain it. The same thing with the other world and enlightenment and empowerment and spiritual isolation. It's just a knowing, but that knowing turns into growing. And the more growing you do, the farther and farther away you get from people who just refuse to grow. It might not be their time to grow, but I'm speaking for the people who have made this lifetime, this particular lifetime, their time to grow, to evolve, and to just understand more, as if we know this is our last go round. We're just grabbing all the coins and all the knowledge we can into the biggest duffel bag, because when we go, because we all go at some point, that we can take it all with us, because what we learn, what we place in our hearts, what we place in our minds, that's what we take with us, rather than the material things that we are told to grab onto, right? It's the spirit of our ancestors with their knowledge and their experiences and their know-how is what keeps us going, or it keeps us knowing, right? Even if they didn't leave a physical object behind, they are leaving their experience behind. They are leaving their mind and their hearts behind for us to live off of and to learn off of. But I just wanted to say that my heart goes out to, especially now that we're having all these, you know, in 2024, you know, very interesting year, year of enlightenment. A lot of these retrogrades happening, slowing things down, a lot of things being revealed to us this year. The most important thing that we need to be, that needs to be revealed to us would be ourselves. We need to know who we really are. We need to know what our purpose really is, and understanding who we are separate from all those other things. It's a scary thing to detach from what you know, but it's even more beautiful. Like I said, life tastes better when you attach yourself to what you're meant for instead. So I hope this little rant helped. It was heavily on my mind for a while, especially after having a few conversations with some family members and some distant friends, realizing that we will never agree on anything ever again. Not in a necessarily a bad way, but in my particular case, that in my family, I'm not going to be heard. I'm not going to be heard at all. The disappointment of me not following through with the religion, the lifestyle, and even some of the stereotypes. I'm not going to be heard. Am I still going to be loved? Sure. Am I still going to love them? Absolutely. But sometimes love ain't enough, and sometimes what's love got to do with it, right? I know, cheesy, I know, but just wanted to make it a little bit more, you know, relatable, if it is. But please let me know what your thoughts are and what your experiences are. I know I'm not the only one that has experienced this. I can go deeper into this on a different episode, but I wanted to at least open up the floor to this idea of spiritual isolation. That I just encourage everyone to just stay the course, because the truth is, what we learn from this experience, the whole time we're here, however long we're here, that's going to be the most important thing. The love we get and the love we give, our connection with spirit, and you know, never know, we could be here to save one life and a whole lifetime would be worth it. So that's all I have for you today, lovies. So this is Christina with Karma's Eyes LLC on Universe. Now, I actually almost forgot when I recorded to bring up one of my main themes of spiritual isolation. And this pertains to people who practice magic in particular. They're more of like on the witchy wizard end of things. And the isolation becomes very daunting and very, very lonely and scary when, you know, if you feel as though someone has thrown magic at you, or people might be against you spiritually or magically, and you're conservative or, you know, religious, or very, you know, ignorant friends and family might not quite understand that or even believe that. They might even accuse you of just saying, no, you just make mistakes, which we all do. Or saying, no, that can't be it. It's got to be something that you did. You know, there have been people who have been magically attacked without people needing a reason. It's not right, but it does happen. Okay, and this is one of the forms of spiritual isolation that draws a lot of spiritual people deeper and deeper into depression, and just wanting to be alone, or feeling like they are alone, or they're feeling like they're not worthy of protection, or they feel as though nobody's going to protect them. And then you get the people who are religious or conservative or very, you know, ignorant to what is going on, that will say, well, you deserve to be attacked because you are involved in these things. You are involved in these spiritual practices that are not good. And again, you're not hurting anyone. You're not hurting yourself. You're trying to live your best life. And we all have setbacks, you know, based on your astrology chart, sun, moon, rising, Lilith placements. You know, we're all meant to experience different things in our lifetime. And we can't always blame or go to magic for the reason why it's happening. However, magic usually is the reason when everything else is ruled out, when you're doing everything right, and it just cannot be explained when you know there are people out there attacking you or stalking you, and you're surrounded by people who are ignorant, unknowing, and, you know, very indifferent to your lifestyle. You know, the isolation becomes even more negative. You start to then question yourself whether or not you're doing the right thing, knowing very well you haven't hurt anybody, right? Knowing very well you've done everything possible to enhance your life and, you know, enhance other people's lives and just make things better for you all around. And yet you still have a group of people who claim to love you, and they're just kind of like, well, I hope something bad happens to you because I don't agree with your lifestyle. Or it wouldn't be surprising if something bad happened to you because you're doing something that I don't understand, right? And it's almost as if you're never going to wake them up. And it's almost like the people who claim to love you, they drastically fail in that moment. That moment of ignorance or that moment of indifference, it's like they might not even know what loving really means or what loving you really is, right? Because you would love yourself enough to be on the path of enlightenment or on the path of deep spiritual knowing, or just knowing anything. It could be scientific knowing, and, you know, and etc. But once you you know, fall to the human condition of having issues of any kind. And you may suspect that there are spiritual forces in the midst of that. That's when those ignorant people tend to say, well, you shouldn't have done that. Or, well, you know, if you come back to what we're doing, you won't experience stuff like that. Because oftentimes when people are religious and they have a spiritual family member, they denote everything and anything that goes wrong to them, you know, not being on what they would call the right path. And these things are to be expected. Wrong things go wrong all the time, no matter what. Okay, however, spiritual attack also has to deal with keeping people asleep, with keeping them very traditional and religious. That's also a spell. And once people break out of that spell, they start to see how there are other spells around us, keeping us in certain mind frames and states and physical and mental, you know, places, and we're trying to break out of them, and breaking out of them has its own consequences. And very traditional, mundane, you know, religious and even just simple-minded people just will not see that. And people who do understand, once again, very few and far in between, hard to talk to, hard to find, or even, you know, hard to get that, you know, involved, to get involved in that in general. And if you happen to be listening and you happen to have a family or friend group, or even just being surrounded by people, persons who just would love for you to have like a breakdown or even fail simply because you don't agree with them, right? I pray for you in the utmost spiritual way that the universe does in fact have you find a way and have, you know, someone to find understanding in and comfort in some way, and understand that you're not doing anything wrong in particular, okay? That you just might as well be under attack like everyone is under attack, and that to stay strong and really to believe in yourself as you had once you began this path in the first place, to not lose sight of the goal. The goal is to, you know, stay focused and stay enlightened and stay awake as long as you can. Don't let the sleeping people bring you back to sleep, so to speak. So I do speak to you directly that everything is going to be okay. The isolation is real. The sadness is real. The depression is real. But it is not going invalidated. It is not going unseen. My consciousness is obviously aligning with your consciousness to have found this. And that any type of pain that you could possibly have felt or are feeling, that I have most likely felt it as well. And I'm using the last of my, you know, sanity of confidence to make this episode specifically for anyone going through the exact same thing. So feel empowered because you're brave.